This is Glenn Fulcher with another issue of Language Testing Bites. Welcome to issue 31 of Language Testing Bites. In volume 37.1 of the journal, we publish a paper on the topic of responding to an integrated speaking task. Now, since their introduction to the TOEFL IBT, research into this format has grown rapidly. This is not surprising, as language testers have traditionally argued that a task or item should attempt to measure just one thing, so that the construct is not contaminated. But when language is used in higher education, it's almost always the case that before speaking or writing, students listen, read, both, and in lots of combinations. The question then arises, just what are we assessing? Now, to help us understand this a little more, we're delighted to welcome Kelly Frost, the lead author of the paper, to the podcast. Thanks for agreeing to talk to our listeners on issue 31 of Language Testing Bites.
It's very nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Kelly, let's assume that many of our readers aren't familiar with the literature on integrated tasks. As an introduction for all our listeners, can you explain just what an integrated speaking task is?
Yeah, sure. Put simply, an integrated speaking task is one that requires test takers first to read and or listen to a text or texts, and then to use information from these texts in their speaking test performance.
Terrific, thanks. Now, as I intimated in the introduction to the podcast, integrated tasks have traditionally been anathema in language testing. As you put it in your paper, the focus has always been on independent constructs. Can you explain just how radical the move to integrated tasks has been?
The move to integrated tasks, in the case of speaking, has meant that in addition to focusing on traditional aspects of speaking skills, like fluency, pronunciation, intonation, the use of grammar and vocabulary, these tasks now also assess the quality of content-related aspects of performance. So things like the way main ideas are developed, if there's an appropriate level of detail provided, and if the information provided is relevant. These things are all included in scoring criteria. So what this means is academic speaking ability has become quite a messy construct. It involves all of these complex interacting things, and this presents us with many challenges in relation to determining what kind of information is relevant, what level of detail is needed, and especially how can we ensure that raters, the people who score these tasks, have a common understanding of these things?
You state that one of the problem issues identified by research to date is copying source materials into the task performance. Is this common?
The problem of copying has largely come up in the context of integrated writing task research. Studies have shown that lower proficiency test takers are much more likely than high proficiency test takers to copy information verbatim from reading texts into their own written compositions. However, where listening stimulus texts are used, the reverse relationship has been found. So it's much more common for high proficiency test takers compared to low proficiency test takers to reproduce what they've heard verbatim in their writing performances. And this is probably because they have higher levels of automaticity, and so they're able, even given the time pressures involved in listening, to understand and remember and then reproduce what they've heard. So there have been fewer studies looking at what happens in the context of integrated speaking tasks. We don't really know how common copying is, but what studies show us so far is that when test takers do reproduce keywords or syntactic structures from the listening text into their performances, raters tend to view this positively. So, it's an interesting question.
Thanks for the summary so far. Now, let's move on to your research. You say that the issues we've already discussed highlight the importance of studying the relationship between the content of the input and the test taker performance. Can you tell us what research questions you addressed in your study that adds to our understanding of integrated tasks?
Okay, so in the study, we look specifically at the content test takers produced in response to an integrated speaking task. And the task we used was the TOEFL IBT reading, listening to speaking task. So in this task, they first read the text and they listen to a short lecture on the same topic, and then they provide a 1-minute verbal response to the prompt that's related to what they've just read and listened to. So in terms of research questions, what we wanted to find out was if there was a relationship between proficiency and content-related aspects of performance that feature in the TOEFL integrated task scoring rubric. So we looked across 3 proficiency levels, low, medium and high, in order to respond to this. So that was the first part. And the second part of the study related to the characteristics of the source text. So one of the main concerns about using integrated tasks to assess speaking and writing ability has been that different stimulus text content might place different demands on test takers, and so might variously impact performance quality and also, of course, the scores that are generated from these tasks. So related to this concern, we wanted to map the way that ideas progressed across the text to see as well if there was any relationship between the text characteristics and the main ideas that test takers were able to accurately reproduce at different levels of proficiency.
Can you briefly take us through your methodology to address your research questions? And I'd be particularly interested to hear how you adapted Maton's work for your purpose, as I went to listen to one of his lectures a couple of years back and found the range of potential applications quite intriguing.
Well, as I said before, there were 2 main parts to our study. In the first part, we segmented into idea units, test taker performances, and also the 2 stimulus texts, so the reading and the listening text. We then looked at idea units in the test taker performances, and we compared these to the corresponding idea units in the source texts to examine accuracy of content in the performances, reproduction by test takers of source text main ideas, and also the progression of ideas and whether this mirrored the progression of ideas in the stimulus texts. So for the latter, we drew on Maton's notion of a semantic profile, and we tried to map relationships between ideas as they developed within an individual source text and across the 2. So what this involved was basically tracing shifts in what Maton terms semantic gravity. Semantic gravity is pretty much the degree to which an idea is tied to context. So another way of thinking about it is a degree of abstractness or concreteness. But what's distinct about this in Maton's term is that it's contingent. It's relative to what's going on in other parts of the text, and it's always going to be an emergent property. It's not something that's fixed and stable or inherent to a word or a concept. So we compared the semantic profiles of different main ideas and across the text with their rate of reproduction in each of the 3 proficiency groups to see if there was any relationship.
So without dwelling on the statistical analysis, which readers of your paper can investigate for themselves, can you briefly summarise your key findings for us?
What we found very briefly was that there was a relationship between proficiency and the content-related aspects of performance that we were interested in the study. We found that high proficiency test takers produced more accurate reproductions of idea units, and they also reproduced more main ideas from the source text than lower proficiency groups. In addition, high proficiency test takers were more likely to follow a similar progression of ideas to that which unfolded in the stimulus text materials. I should have mentioned actually in relation to the methods that we in the study we looked at 2 parallel versions of the same TOEFL IBT integrated speaking task. So 2 versions of the reading and listening to speaking task with 2 different topics and sets of stimulus texts and test taker performances. And when we looked at the semantic profiles across these 2 supposedly parallel versions, we found some interesting differences. We found that one of the topics, so one set of stimulus text, had what Maton refers to as a semantic wave profile. So ideas developed in a way that involved movements back and forth between abstract concepts or generalized concepts and specific manifestations or specific examples to illustrate the concept. And then these were linked back again to the more abstract concept. And what this meant was that test takers needed to make connections in their performances between abstract and concrete ideas that were presented in the text in order to capture the sense of the progression of ideas. And high proficiency test takers were better able to do this. And so as a result, on the topic that followed a semantic wave profile, there were more noticeable differences between proficiency groups in the number of main ideas that were reproduced and also the accuracy with which content was reproduced. On the other topic, there was more of a one-directional semantic profile. So the generalized concept was introduced in the reading and then the listening text contained a specific example, but there was no explicit link made between the example back to the more abstract concept in the reading. And as a result of this, lower level test takers were able to package main ideas in either abstract or specific terms, depending on whether they had understood better the reading or the listening text. And they didn't really need to make any link between the two, and this made it easier for them to reproduce main ideas and to reproduce them quite accurately. And what we found was that on that task, there was very little difference between proficiency groups in the aspects of content that we were interested in.
And now, I suppose, the two big questions. What does this tell us about how we select reading and listening texts for integrated speaking tasks? And does this have an impact on how we score test taker performances on integrated speaking tasks?
Firstly, in relation to how we select reading and listening texts, I think what our study shows is that we need to try to develop texts that mirror semantic wave profiles. In so doing, we can place greater demands on test takers to make connections between abstract concepts and the specific examples that we use to illustrate these concepts. When texts are designed in this way, test takers really need to understand the progression of ideas, and they're not so able just to reproduce information without understanding how ideas relate to other parts of the text. So in this way, it's also more representative of what's required in academic contexts. Okay, we want students in universities to be able to move back and forth between abstract ideas and their highly contextualized manifestations. And so using texts in tests that mirror these sorts of qualities, I think, is also likely to enhance positive washback. In terms of scoring, I think there are many, many implications for scoring that come out of all of the research so far into integrated tasks, including our study. Our study, like many others, highlights the problem of generalizability that's associated with different sets of stimulus texts. And I think this is an unresolved question, but I do think that in understanding better the sorts of demands that text characteristics place on test takers, we're better able to sort of head towards greater generalizability of scoring.
Well, it's clear that this is a lot more complex than was apparent when the decision to use these tasks on high-stakes tests was taken. And in your research, what comes next?
We're following up on this study with another study that is using a verbal reporting methodology to tap into the sorts of processes and strategies that test takers engage when they're responding to this sort of task. So in particular, we're focusing on the different stages of the tasks. So the comprehension stage, the note-taking stage, and the speaking stage of this sort of reading and listening to speaking task to try to shed further light on the demands that different text characteristics place on test takers, and also on the relationships between test taker processes and strategies, text characteristics, and the content-related aspects of performance that test takers produce in response to these tasks.
Well, we wish you all the best with the next steps. I'm sure that by sharing your research with the listeners, a lot of interest will be generated and many people will be inspired to conduct research in this area. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And yes, let's hope so. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this issue of Language Testing Bites. Language Testing Bites is a production of the journal Language Testing from Sage Publications. You can subscribe to Language Testing Bites through iTunes, or you can download future issues from ltj.sagepub.com or from languagetesting.info. So until next time, we hope you have enjoyed the current issue of Language Testing Bites.